Chapter 13. Kira loved the freighter boneyard at night. The croaking bilge frogs and creaking metal, the slap of wings on water, the pale moonlight against rusting hulks, the briny smell of fresh water meeting salt as the land sloped toward the ocean that she knew lay just over the horizon. More than anything, she loved the huge, ugly tree clinging stubbornly to her hill, and the way its roots had a strangling grip on the skeleton of her freighter. That tree was a survivor. Her tree, her hill, her freighter skeleton. This time, as they drove up to it in their stolen speeder, she was glad to have company, to share this place with, well, she wasn't ready to say they were friends, exactly, but Han and Saulo were okay to have around in a pinch.
"We're going to have a frost tonight,"
Han said as he parked the speeder. He blew on his hands as they all hurried inside her safe house. Kira lit the lamp, noticing that the power was low. It would need a recharge soon. They huddled around the lamp at the table. Kira pulled out the holoprojector and set it before them. She was about to thumb it on when she noticed Saulo shivering violently.
"You okay there, pal?"
Han said. Saulo blurted something, but Kira only caught the word for cold. She grabbed the blanket from her cot and whipped it around his shoulders. "I wish we had more food," she said.
"I always wish I had more food," Han grumbled.
"It's hard to keep warm when your body isn't getting any energy," she said. And then she wondered if she'd given too much away, approached her secrets a little too closely. Saulo chattered at them, and Kira didn't have to understand Hatties to know that his words were jumbling together. Something was wrong.
"He's sorry to be a bother," Han said, "but Rodians don't do so well with the cold, apparently. Something about the Rodian homeworld being hot, I don't know. He's not making much sense."
"I have a space heater," Kira said, rummaging on the top shelf. "It's small, and it doesn't hold a charge long, but it might warm us up for an hour or two, enough to keep him from going into hypothermia." She found the heater, placed it on the table in front of Saulo, and flicked it on. It glowed against Saulo's face, turning his skin almost yellow. He sighed happily. Between the lamp and the space heater, the safe house was as bright as it had ever been. For the first time, she noticed the skin of Han's face. It was bright red, as if he'd been standing in the sun for hours, all except for huge white circles around his eyes where his goggles had been.
"What are you staring at?"
he said. "Your face," she said. "It looks burned."
"Oh, that. Yeah, it feels like it's going to crack. I got too close to the slag outtake."
"It's going to peel off in a day or two," Kira said. "Unless we can find some Bacta cream."
"At least I'll be harder to recognize with my face peeling away."
"Good point," she said, reaching for the holoprojector.
"Wait, what's that?"
Han said, pointing to her right hand. She saw her fingers through his eyes. They were bruised and swollen, especially the second knuckle of her middle finger. It throbbed something awful, but she didn't think it was broken. Besides, she'd had worse. Kira shrugged. "From when I punched Rizzo. I told you it hurt." Next time she wanted to hit someone, she'd remember to use a wrench or something instead. Saulo jabbered them, pointing to the holoprojector. Okay, here we go," Kira said, thumbing it on. A figure popped up from the projector, limed and blue, barely taller than Kira's table lamp. A female biped. She was too tiny, and the holoprojector didn't give them enough detail to identify her species with certainty, which was probably by design, Kira figured. All they could tell was that she was slender, with long, sweeping robes and a heavy cowl that completely covered her features. Her hands were clasped in front of her, and she bowed slightly, inclining her head just so.
"Greetings," she said.
"Greetings," Kira replied. Her heart was in her throat. She was talking to an Imperial defector, someone who was in the starry sky somewhere above them. It made her head swim.
"I expected this first attempt at an auction to have complications," she said. I even expected to have to sacrifice some assets. But I did not expect my data cube to end up in the hands of three young scoundrels.
Scoundrels? Han said, appearing affronted, though Kira had a funny feeling he was pleased. You went to a lot of trouble and risk to contact us, Kira pointed out. The figure in blue waved a dismissive hand.
I've had eyes on the ground the whole time, of course, and a tracker in that cube. That's another thing I didn't expect. For my cube to end up in Corellia's infamous freighter boneyard, where starships go to die.
Su'lo drew in breath. Han and Kira exchanged an alarmed glance. The engineer knew exactly where they were. Then why wasn't she sending her pet stormtroopers after them? Why wasn't she taking the data cube back by force? Kira had the answer almost as soon as her mind formed the question. Because it was unique. She had defected from the Empire. That meant she couldn't leave copies behind. The data cube contained her life's work, and she was worried they might destroy it. It's why the stormtroopers at the Foundry had missed with their blasters. They didn't want to damage the cube. If you come after us, Kira said, we'll smash the cube to smithereens. The figure nodded.
I've no doubt.
But we don't want to do that, Kira added hastily. We'd rather agree to a better arrangement.
I'm glad to hear it, the engineer said.
Her voice was low and husky, but it had a mechanical quality. Kira didn't know enough about holoprojectors to tell if it was merely a function of long-distance communication, or if the engineer was altering her voice on purpose. Kira wasn't sure what to say next, and she was a little irritated, a little relieved when Han jumped in with, "So, should we meet up or something?"
"What for?"
the engineer said carefully. She was being cautious, Kira realized. She wasn't as poised and confident as she appeared. Kira smiled. "We want to give the cube back to you, but only you, not an emissary. We've been running for our lives, you see, and I'm not sure you understand how difficult trust can be in these situations."
Han was giving her a strange look.
"You're really good at this," he whispered.
"I would love to see my cube again," the engineer said. "I'd be happy to provide escort for you to my ship."
"You would?" Kira said. "I mean, that's good."
"On one condition," said the engineer.
"There's always a catch," Han mumbled.
"You must do something for me first, to prove you're legitimate. A tiny favor."
Su'lo let his head fall to the table in despair. Even Han slumped over, saying,
"A tiny favor? Yeah, I bet."
Kira wanted to scream with frustration. They'd been through so much already. What more did she want? But another part of her acknowledged the engineer's sound strategy. In her place, Kira would require a loyalty test too, or at least a competency test. Kira felt weariness in her very bones. "Just tell us what you want," she ordered.
"The Empire tracked me here to the Corellia system," the engineer explained. "I sent one of my crew members planetside to gather supplies, and Korsak recognized him and arrested him. He's being kept in a holding cell in downtown Coronet City."
Su'lo swore, and even though his voice was muffled by the blanket, the sound must have carried, because the engineer said,
"Your Rodian friend is colorful."
"You want us to retrieve your crew member?" Han guessed.
"I do."
"How?" Kira said. "You can't just walk into a holding area and grab a prisoner."
"I'll provide uniforms and identity chips that will get you through the door," she said. "The rest will be up to you. You three have proven very resourceful so far. I think your chances of success are acceptable."
That didn't sound good at all.
"What about your stormtrooper friends?" Kira said. "They seem pretty loyal to you."
The engineer's chest rose and fell with a deep, controlling breath.
"I'm sure a smart girl like you understands how imperative it is to use one's assets strategically and with circumspection.
Kira's eyes narrowed as she puzzled that one out. You can't risk using them too often? She guessed.
Exactly. They veered off patrol once already today. Several of them discharged their blasters. It will be weeks, maybe months, before I can use them again without risking their posts. And I need them to stay right where they are, safe and above suspicion.
Han crossed his arms over his chest and frowned. This seems like a very bad idea.
If you do this for me,
the engineer said,
I'll arrange passage to my ship. Get all three of you safely off-world.
Han sat up a little straighter, his eyes wide. How will you deliver uniforms and identichips? Kira asked.
I'll give you the coordinates for a drop location. It will be someplace out of the way. I'll throw in a little surprise.
I hate surprises, Kira said.
You'll like this one. It's something I cooked up in the lab. Should come in handy.
Kira looked to Han and Saulo. What do you think? She said. Saulo nodded, yes, saying something that sounded affirmative.
It's our best shot, Han said. I've been in lockup a few times myself. I know my way around the place.
Then we're agreed, Kira said. Give us the coordinates of the drop point, and all the information you can about the holding area, and we'll get your crew member back.
I dare not risk using the holonet, she said. So everything you need will be left at the drop point.
She rattled off a set of coordinates, which Saulo typed into his datapad. That meant they'd have to retrieve the engineer's resources and then make a plan. Kira would just have to work with that. We have a deal, she said. The engineer inclined her head in acknowledgement, and the hologram winked out. The three of them were silent a long moment. The lamp on the table sputtered. Not much time left before it went out completely.
Well, that was interesting, Han said.
I guess, said Kira.
You can come up with a plan, right?
He said.
No problem?
Sure, she said weakly. No problem. The truth was she was exhausted and hungry and totally out of her league. A weight pressed on her shoulders, crushing her down, making her feel small and helpless. She hated that feeling.
You knew exactly what to say to her,
Han marveled.
You're a natural at... well, not at talking to people in general. You're too stuck up and detached for that.
It's a wonder you don't have more friends, as encouraging as you are.
What I mean is you're really good at the business side of things. And you sound like all those...
He waved a hand in a vague gesture.
Important people. You're a player, Kira, just like them.
Thanks, I think. But a little of that weight lifted, making her feel as though she could breathe. Saulo said something about sleep.
Yeah, maybe a couple of hours, Han suggested.
The little Rodian hunched under his blanket, his bad antenna nearly flat against his head, as he studied the coordinates on his datapad. He had to be just as exhausted as they were, maybe more so, given his difficulty with cold temperatures. Poor guy. She and Han had dragged him into this mess, and he had never once complained. Saulo, Kira said, you don't have to do this.
Yeah, none of this is your fault, Han agreed.
He looked up at them, blinking his huge black eyes in confusion. I mean, if you just want to stay here, Kira said. While Han and I get the engineer's crew member, that's fine. We shouldn't have forced you to be part of all this, and... well, I'm sorry. Saulo responded with rapid-fire words, and Kira was pretty sure she'd made him angry.
He says of course he's coming along, Han translated. He's in it for the long haul now. Besides, you and I are...
Han's voice trailed off.
What?
What did he say? Kira demanded. Saulo gestured at Han to keep translating.
He says you and I are his friends. And Saulo never turns his back on his friends.
Oh, Kira said. She could feel her face, her heart, her soul freezing solid, tight, impenetrable. Then Saulo smiled, that ridiculous Rhodian grin that could only ever reach about the width of three human fingers. And Kira realized with a thud in her chest that she liked the little fellow. She enjoyed his company. These past couple of days would have been unbearable without him, and without Han. She cleared her throat. Han avoided their gazes, looking as uncomfortable as she felt.
"Well, Saulo," she said at last, "I can see why you and I are friends, but I have no idea why you'd want to be friends with that guy."
She thumbed in Han's direction.
"Hey,"
Han said, though he was smiling. Saulo laughed. Then he said something else that made Han frown.
"What?"
Kira prompted.
"He says everything will be fine. The Force is with him."
"Huh. I guess I'll take first watch," Kira said.
"Wake me in an hour,"
Han said, already heading toward the cot. After everyone had napped, they jumped into the speeder, and Saulo directed them to the coordinates of the engineer's drop location. They skimmed across the freighter boneyard to the edge of the swamp, where the freshwater bog gave way to salt marsh. Muddy estuaries swirled through wind-blown grass, appearing as silver ribbons in the moonlight. Night fishers soared overhead, occasionally diving into the water. Scavenged droids on long stilts waded through the water looking for salvage and recyclables. The three of them crested a small rise, and suddenly the sea stretched before them, a vast black expanse frothing with white. Saulo directed Han to stop. A few meters more and they'd meet the cold sand and rock of Coronet's harsh shoreline. To their left, a wide creek emptied into the ocean, the surface oily with darkness and something else. The wind blew into their faces, and Kira nearly choked.
"What is that horrible smell?" Han said.
Kira drew the lapel of her jacket over her mouth, but it did little good. The air was thick with sweet rot and sour garbage, and something far, far worse. It was so strong it made her eyes sting. Saulo said something that made Han gasp.
"He says it's sewage,"
Han told her.
"But that's not right. We practically live in the sewers, and it never smells this bad."
"Actually, I think it might," Kira said. "We've been topside for more than a day. Our noses have readjusted."
Han gaped at her.
"You mean the white worm lair smells like this all the time? That means we probably smell like this all the time."
"You know what they say. You can smell a white worm coming a click away."
It made her wonder how much perfume had originally been on the clothes that Lady Proxima left for her.
"Well, let's grab the engineer's package and get out of here quick."
Saulo led them to a small mound of rocks and sand and gravel, piled up like a cairn. The speeder headlamps lit the space as the three of them set to work clearing it away. And Kira found herself moving too slowly, the weight of her thoughts making her sluggish. The truth was, she didn't want to stink like a latrine. She didn't want to be dirty all the time. She didn't want to crash back into the dark sewers when she'd had a taste of open air and fancy clothes and beautiful hotels and the attention of powerful people who believed she had something to say.
"There,"
Han said.
"A cargo crate."
They opened it. True to the engineer's word, the crate contained three neatly folded uniforms, counterfeit identichips, and a handful of credits.
"I don't see the one thing I was really looking for," Han said.
"What's that?"
Kira asked.
"A portable shower."
She wrinkled her nose in sympathy.
"There's a spot back that way with fresh water."
Han regarded her skeptically.
"Well, fresh water at any rate. We can clean up there a bit."
Saulo pulled two small round items from the crate. Kira didn't recognize them. He held one up and twittered a question. It fit in the palm of his hand like a children's toy ball, but its metal casing glittered in the light of the speeder's headlamps.
"I don't know," Han said. "There's a button right there. What does it do?"
Saulo was about to press it, but Kira yelled, "No!"
He froze. "The engineer said she was leaving a surprise for us," she explained. "What if it's a weapon of some kind?"
Han moved closer and peered at the thing in Saulo's hand.
"Maybe it's a thermal detonator. I've heard about those."
Saulo handed it to Han, who turned it over, studying it from all angles. Meanwhile, Saulo retrieved his data pad and began shifting through information. He made a noise of discovery and held the pad for Han and Kira to see. It displayed an image of something similar. Small, round, and metal, with a button on one side. It was labeled Stun Grenade.
"This will come in handy," Han said with a grin.
Then his grin slowly disappeared, as though he were realizing something unpleasant.
"She probably gave us two, in case we stunned ourselves by pressing the button on the first one."
"I think the engineer designed these herself," Kira said. "It's probably not your everyday stun grenade."
"There's an everyday kind," Han said,
and Kira shrugged. Saulo pulled a uniform from the crate and flipped it out. It was made of stiff, light gray material, with a high collar and a matching small-brimmed hat. Then Saulo swore, loudly and at length.
Kira, we have a problem," Han said. "These uniforms say Sinar Advanced Projects Laboratory."
"Blast," Kira said, immediately beginning to revise all the plans she'd been considering. She'd heard the name Sinar plenty of times, but Advanced Projects Laboratory was new.
"I'm not sure that company exists on Corellia," she said.
"Some kind of engineering corporation, right?"
Han said.
"Maybe." The three of them could never pass as scientists. They were way too young.
Saulo waved his datapad at them, chittering in Huttese.
"Oh, hell," Han said.
"What? What is it?"
Kira demanded.
"Saulo just plugged in our destination coordinates from the engineer. Her crew member isn't sitting in a drunk tank or any regular lockup," Han said. "He's in an Imperial holding cell."
Kira's breath caught.
"You were right, Han. This favor for the engineer definitely has a catch."
"Some catch."
"Then we'll have to get creative, won't we?" she said. "Wait, what's that?"
Saulo had pulled three metallic items from the bottom of the crate. They were tube-shaped, with two protrusions along one side and a tiny grate along the other. They were small enough to stash in a pocket.
"Those are breathers," Han said. "I'm sure of it."
Kira stared.
"Why would we need... Oh."
She looked from the breathers to the stun grenades and back again.
"Those aren't stun grenades," she said, smiling.
A plan was definitely forming.
"There's something better."